have permission to proceed. Before we are all seated, let's do our declaration together. I know I didn't do offering. We will do it at the end. There are baskets at the back if you miss it. But let's say our declaration together. My eyes are on Jesus. My heart is tuned to His Spirit. My ears are listening to His voice. My mind will believe what He says, and my voice will declare the truth of His Word. You may be seated. And Lord Jesus, I thank You. I thank You for Your presence. I thank You that You are here right now, Lord Jesus. And I say, have Your way. Speak through me. Use me. And Lord, all these things that You've been dealing with so far, Lord Jesus, I pray that they find resolution in the house of God this morning, that they come, they lay it at Your feet, and they find healing in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to spend some time. I'm going to go ahead and give you a little teaser. We're going to spend some time in Luke chapter 14 today. It will be on the screen, but if you want to go to Luke chapter 14, we will stay there for a little bit. Luke 14. A little disclaimer. I've been at revival all week long, and so I'm probably going to step on some toes, and I'm sort of telling you, not really to apologize, I'm just letting you know. So there you go. And you say, well, you know, I don't know about that. Revival, I have a certain picture in my mind. Yep, you do. And Jesus is saying, just as He led Moses from one place to the next, He's telling you it's time for you to move along. Because if you want to be like Moses, Moses says, I don't want to be where you're not. And so Moses had to realize, as good as the glory fills in that place, he said, if you want to experience more glory, if you want to see what's next, you better keep step. Follow me. See, what we often want to do is say, man, this feels so nice. I'm going to take some rocks, symbolic of the 12 tribes of Israel, and we're going to put some memorial stones down, and we're going to honor God in this place. And that all sounds beautiful. That all sounds right. That sounds nice. But he's saying, too often, my people set up these altars, and they weren't where I was at. They were where I was in the past, but they're not where I'm at now. And they're not going to be where I'm going to go. And I feel like we've been talking about new wine. I feel like we've been saying all these things. And some people are just like, you know what? Man, that all sounds great, but I am not with you. I'll tell you that I am while we're in service because I don't want anyone to look at me cross-eyed. Don't need none of that in my life. Got enough of that outside of church. But I'm not with you. And to you, I say, cool. Hopefully by the time we're done with this sermon, you will be. Okay? You have to see that we're all on a journey. And each one of our journeys, like, we're moving at different cadences. We're all at a different pace. Jesus is dealing with things in us. And the picture that he gave me a minute ago about that heart surgery, for some, that's different. I mean, how many people told you what heart surgery would be like, and then when you experienced it yourself, you're like, wasn't what all, you know, at all what they said? Yeah, he's probably almost thinking like, man, they lied. It was far worse, you know? Because each person is going through the journey at their own pace with the Lord, and God is dealing with specific things that are unique to them. And so stop looking around and trying to see, all right, am I keeping up pace with Alan over here? Alan's getting ahead. I better run faster. No, you go at the pace that Jesus is telling you to go at, and until he kind of pokes you a little bit with his little stick, go at his pace. He will tell you if you're going too fast, and he will tell you if you're going too slow. He'll tell you when you need to stop and take a break. Remember Elijah? He just needed a nap and a snack. Some of y'all need to take a minute and get a nap and a snack because you're wondering why you're tired. And I'm going to remind you what we said last week where Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you're not feeling an easy yoke and a light burden, you're doing it wrong. Come back to the feet of Jesus and say, I want your yoke. Are you with me? A thought that I had is that really what he's doing is he's teaching us how to be his kind of people again. I want you to be my kind of people. I want you to look like me. I want you to sound like me. I want you to act like me. Are you with me? His kind of people. So if we experience each other and we don't feel like Jesus' love and peace and joy, once again, we're not being his kind of people. He wants us to come back, return to center. Are you with me? So I have some hard things to share, and I said it that way so that you know that I still love you, because I received these first. Revelation 2, 1 through 7 says, "To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, and he walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance." He says, "I know you. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and you have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary." Verse 4. "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love that you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things that you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place." I'm going to read the rest in a second. But what I need you to see in the very first part of this is Jesus says, "I know your deeds." You can't hide from him. And just to demystify some Revelation stuff, because I have a feeling we're going to start going into more Revelation here in the next few weeks. I can't get away from it. We're going to read some more scriptures that have this quality. But sometimes there's scriptures that we read that are timeless. And so while they are speaking to a certain group of people, they're also speaking to the fuller, larger group of people, the church, the ecclesia, the people gathered and called by the name of Jesus. And so not only was this a type or a shadow of what was going to happen or what was currently happening, it was also a picture of end time church too. Are you with me? So it's a past, a present, and a future thing, but that timeline continues to move like this as time goes. Are you with me? Okay. So if you read in Ephesians chapter 2, in Revelation chapter 2 and Revelation chapter 3, there are churches that Jesus is specifically calling out. And what I will also say is not only were they churches, they were named churches at the time, but he's also talking about the spirit that is on the church today. And so he's going to call out qualities that we have that he is all about. It's like, "I love it. Do that." And then he's going to say to many of the churches, "Yet I have this against you." When Jesus tells us that he has something against us, if that doesn't make you squirm with everything in you and say, "I don't want that," probably need to get a few things checked out. God, where's my heart? If that doesn't bother me, where's my heart? I know of no person that when they see this does not start to evaluate the type of love they have in their hearts for Jesus and for his people. And if they don't align according to his standard, not your standard, not your church's standard, not your pastor's standard, not your spiritual mentor's standard, Jesus's standard, then he's going to say, "I have this against you. Do what you did at first." What do you mean? When you first came to Jesus, there was not a single thing that could deter you or stop you or anything. You were on fire. Some of you are still that way. Bless God. But not everybody is. So remember the way that you were at first. Want to know one of the differences? You didn't care what people thought. Why? Because you just found out about the best thing that has literally ever happened to you, and you don't care about anything else. Are you with me? And that kind of goes back to that revival statement. When you taste the glory, and it's so heavy and so powerful, you don't want to leave. You don't want to go anywhere else. And what Jesus is saying, hey, guess what? Because I abide in you, and you abide in me, and we abide in the Father, you can have that all the time. Come on. It's not a place. As awesome as revival meetings are, and we physically go to them, what Pastor Terry and I have been talking about the entire time is it's not a place. It's not a man. It's not a ministry. It's not a location. Real revival will start in a place, and it will just explode everywhere else. You can't help it. Okay? Are you with me? So what I needed you to see here as we will continue to go through some of this is that we can walk in good deeds, deeds that Jesus is very proud of, and at the same time still not love him the way he's calling us to love him, and still not love his people the way that he's calling us to love his people. We watched The Chosen Thursday, and I'm going to keep this as spoiler-free as possible. But I have never been more sick in my entire life of church and religion. Literally never been more sick than my entire life of church and religion. I feel like I got a small sliver. You know when Jesus called them, you brood of vipers, to the Pharisees? He called them snakes. To them, that was like, how dare you call us snakes? Snakes are unclean. There was a portion there, and it's one of those things that in Scripture, it's been in front of you this entire time, but until you see it, I'm a visual person, until you see it, it doesn't slap you in the face like it needs to. And there was a portion, a point in the Scripture and in the video retelling of it in The Chosen, where he's about to feed the 5,000. And the Pharisees couldn't get past the fact that he's eating with Gentiles. They didn't see that everybody was gathered together in unity like Jesus wants. They were hung up on the fact that it's nasty to eat with Gentiles. And they lost their ever-loving mind. Before, they were kind of on the fence, like he's preaching things that we don't agree with. He's healing people. Like they were kind of upset, but not really upset. But their kicker was that, oh no, he gone and did it. He's eating with Gentiles. Death to him. And that made me so sick. You want to know why it made me so sick? Jesus loves all of us. And Jesus was trying to show them that in your set-apartness, which he still wants us to be, by the way, he wants us to be set apart. But he wants people to look at our set-apartness and say, I want that. He doesn't want people to look at our set-apartness and say, oh, they're a bunch of jerks. I don't want anything to do with them. You're disgusting in their sight. That's not what he wants. That's not what he called us to. That's not why he said, be different. Be different so everybody hates you and they don't know you're God. That does not sound at all like what Jesus wanted. And I don't know if you know this or not. We tend to call it the Old Testament. It's old. It's no longer valid. That's a big fat lie. And so many people tell me, they're like, well, the God of the Old Testament doesn't look at all like the God of the New Testament. Well, you must be reading some sort of different Bible because he looks exactly the same to me. The difference is in the New Testament, whatever you want to call it at this point, I don't even really care. You're seeing things through the lens of Jesus. And Jesus died for you and paid for you. So the thing that changed is we had to put on some different glasses and see it his way, that he was always this good, great, holy, majestic, just God, and he was always calling us to live a certain way. But we were so hard-headed that we didn't want to. And Jesus said, hold on a second. You know what? I love Hillary so much, and I know how hard-headed she is. I'm just going to come down and die for her. Jamie's pretty hard-headed too. But he's like, I know them, and I love them, and I want them. And if I can do anything about it, I'm going to do it. And if they will receive what I'm doing for them, man, we're going to have the absolute coolest party in heaven. I'm not even playing. It's going to be awesome. Or you can choose to endure in your ways, in your sin, and you will have the hottest party on the other side, and it ain't going to be in heaven. And when I say hot, I know all the kids say weird stuff with words. I mean like fire, like death and burning, okay? I had this three times all this week, but he kept saying in verse 7, you'll see it. He says, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Whoever has ears to hear. Everybody grab your ear and wiggle it a little bit. You got ears? Are you hearing? Are you really listening to his voice? Or is it just this background noise? I think of some of y'all are going to know what I'm talking about when I say this. Some of you are going to have no clue, but just go with me. But the wah, 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 wah. Which one is it? It's from Peanuts, by the way. Old Snoopy. Are you hearing the background noise? Do you have your filters up? Do you have your own thoughts, your own imaginations going on all up in here, taking up all of the space? Or are you hearing his still small voice? Now, don't mistake it. I have heard his real big and loud voice, and it scared me to death. I would prefer the still small voice. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Don't use your big voice. But he will use the big voice if he has to, because he wants your attention. What is the ultimate point of what I'm talking about today? The ultimate point of what I'm talking about today and what I will talk about today in this next group of scriptures is that you can call it quits right now. You can say, Chris, everything you guys have been saying, you know, it sounds great, but I don't want any part of it. Well, cool. You could die right now and you can go to heaven. You can be with Jesus and you can have a good old glorious time. But I'm sorry, me personally, I want more. He says, I can have more, and I want more. So when he says, Chris, I want you to do this, and it's going to be the scariest, most painful thing of all time, and you might even die, are you still willing to do it? My answer is yes. I want to do that. Terrified, totally, but I want to do that. Why? Because I want to draw closer to him. And often drawing closer to him paints a bigger target on you. Are you with me? And that's not a popular thing. People don't like hearing that. When we're going to go through Revelation and I start talking about tribulation to you, most people are going to be like, I'm out. I don't want no part of that. Persecution? Nope, don't want none of that either. I want what the preacher, when I was little, sold me and said everything would be perfect. Everything would be fine. Just come to Jesus. Everything will be fine. They kind of lied to you. Just going to be real. I don't think they did it intentionally. I'll give them that. But it was almost like, you know, I'm in sales. It was almost like the guy that goes door to door and he's going to tell you anything he possibly can to sell you the thing that he needs to sell you. Now, the thing that they were quote unquote selling is literally the best thing of all time. Make no mistake. But they often don't talk about the price. What do you mean? I have to die to myself? I have to choose him above everything else? When they tell you the cost, you're like, I don't know. Oh, people are going to persecute me? They're going to want to kill me? If I go to other countries that aren't about this and I'm doing what Jesus said, which is go and make disciples of all nations. By the way, that was a commandment, not a suggestion. People are going to want to kill me. Well, I don't know. I think I need to reevaluate my decision. Is there a money-back guarantee? Are you with me today? Like I said, I didn't say this was going to be a fun one. I'm going to be like hooping and hollering. Yeah, mine too. I'm going to start walking. I ain't going to walk with a limp, not in Jesus' name. I'm healed. All right, it gets real in Luke 14, 12 through 24. Jesus said to his host in verse 12, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers, your sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." I'm going to ask you a question, and you're just going to stew on this for a little bit. Which payment do you think is better? Process that. And you can have all the rich neighbors. I mean, I don't know where some of you live. You can have some tons of rich neighbors that you're like, I would love to eat in their house. That'd be cool. I promise you, the payment at the resurrection is far better. When one of those at the table heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." And Jesus replied in verse 16, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen.'" I'm going to say yoke, not yolk. Remember that? "Just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me." I'm not picking on my dad, but he just walked out. The 5 yoke of oxen sounds like him, by the way. I got to try these babies out. We're about to make a nice field. He gets it. Still another said, verse 20, "I just got married, so I can't come." The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, "I need you to go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." Verse 22, "Sir," the servant said, "what you have ordered has been done, but there is still room." Then the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet." I love these stories, these parables that he told, because at least in one of them, he said the kingdom of heaven is like. And when he says the kingdom of heaven is like, I tend to perk up. I'm like, tell me, I want to hear. And what he was saying in these stories is that he came for a people. He came and said, "I've told you all the signs. I've told you all the things. I've told you how to live. I told you what to look for." And they missed it. They had better things to do in their mind. But this equalizer is the fact he's saying, "I have made a way for everyone who wants me, who wants to come into my banquet. You have access. Will you come? I want my house full." Do you want that? Did Jesus make any divisions there? Did he say, "Well, you know, if someone is too smelly or too bad, we don't want them in the banquet," right? I don't remember reading that. And so what is our message? What are we saying to the unbeliever? What are we saying to the person that looks and sounds and acts differently than us? Are we saying that you're welcome in the house of God? Or are we making them feel real uncomfortable? Listen, I'm going to just rewind 2 seconds. When you walk into a place for the first time, I don't care who you are, what your social status is, any of that, do you not feel awkward already? Brand new place. Don't know anybody there. You already feel weird, right? Anybody else? Come on, show of hands. Let me know I'm talking to somebody. Okay, I've got a few hands. How much worse is it for someone to not look at you, not talk to you, not greet you, not do anything, and then you're like, whoa, I really am alone. And then it gets better. Then they dump all kinds of hatred and rules and things that you should do in order to fit in. And then what we have is instead of a house that our Father wants full, we make it into this club for the elite. And we say, if you're not paying your tithe, you're not welcome here. If you're not serving somewhere, oh, and by the way, in order to serve, you got to get your life cleaned up first, because we don't have anybody with trash or junk in their life serving on our teams. God Almighty. Like you can cover it up all the ways that you want to and call it protocol and process. But you're really just being religious and you're being a bonehead and you need to repent and you need to say, Jesus, as you lead the workers to this house to participate in the harvest, we say yes because I'm a sinner. I was saved by grace. I don't deserve to be here. So guess what? We're all in the same boat. We did not deserve it, and he did it for us anyway. Can we work together to bring as many people to fill up the house of the Lord? Are you with me? I want to go to Acts chapter 10. I love this. We're going to jump into two sections, but we're going to stay in Acts chapter 10 probably for the last little bit here. Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 9. I believe I have it on the screens too. Acts 10:9 says, about noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the roof to pray. He became hungry and he wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance, a vision. Like, y'all don't get weird about the words. It was an open vision, dream, whatever you want to call it. Verse 11, he saw heaven opened and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its four corners. And it contained all kinds of four-footed animals as well as reptiles and birds. Then a loud voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time. Do not call anything impure that God has made clean. And it happened three times. And immediately the sheet was taken back into heaven. Jumping down to verse 27. While talking with him, Peter went inside. So he meets Cornelius. While talking with him, Peter went inside and found a large gathering of people. So I'm going to speak to all the introverts right here, right now. You're talking with one guy, things are cool, everything is calm, and then you immediately see that there's a large gathering of people, and you're like, oh no, where am I? I want to go home, right? A little bit of what Peter's feeling, plus the whole Gentile thing. So kind of understand where his mind and heart are at. And he said to them, you are all well aware that it is against our law for a Jew to associate with or even visit a Gentile. But God has shown me that I should not call anyone impure or unclean. Someone say anyone. Don't do it, okay? So when I was sent for, I came without raising any objection. So now, may I ask why you sent for me? Cornelius answered, 3 days ago I was in my house praying at this hour at 3 p.m. And suddenly a man in shining clothes stood before me and said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayer and remembered your gifts to the poor. Send to Joppa for Simon, who is also called Peter. He is a guest in the house of Simon the Tanner, okay? So he got specific. He's like, listen, he's going to get confused. It's Simon, but they call him Peter, okay? Are you with me? There's another Simon, but he's a Tanner, not him. who lives by the sea. So I sent for you immediately, and it was good of you to come. Now, listen to this. Now we are all here in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. If you start walking so closely with Jesus, you don't even have to go out sometimes. Jesus will bring them to you. But if you say, well, I'm not supposed to meet with your kind, or even hang out, or even be near, y'all are nasty. You might not get that opportunity. Then Peter began to speak in verse 34. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. Verse 37. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem, and they killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by witnesses whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. Listen to verse 42. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. And all the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Now I want you to pay close attention to verse 44. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on Gentiles. Even after all he just got done saying, they were still astonished. And listen, how did they know? Some people are not going to like this, but like I said, I'm here to step on toes, so here we go. For they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, surely no one can stand in the way of their being baptized with water. They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have. So the thing that's I think is the absolute coolest about this is he wasn't even done talking. And these people were filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And everybody's like, well, in my church services, there needs to be interpretation. There needs to be a word of prophecy. We need to have a bunch of witnesses. That's not what any of it said there. Did you see that? Did he call up, hey, hold on a second. We need to interpret what's going on here. So what I'm saying is you might hear someone get touched in the Holy Spirit, and they might start speaking in tongues and praising the name of the Lord their God, and you just need to get over it. Maybe you need some of that. You probably need some of that. So just say, Lord, whatever they got, would you pour it out on me too? Like, this word is good. Chris is doing a good job, but I could use some of the Holy Spirit that's going on right now. Let's go. Amen. I'm okay with it. Are you okay with it? That's right. They did things a little out of order, according to some, right? Who are we to say what's in order or what's not? One of the things a pastor of mine reminded us of as we were talking, he said so many people are so quick to throw things out that they don't understand, but the Word of God says test. How do you test something when you won't even come be a part of and experience it and see for yourself? You can't test by hearing about it. You weren't there. You have no understanding. Well, I think what they all did, they're just crazy. They're you know, polluting the Word of God. They're just acting like a bunch of nuts. They're a bunch of freaks, and I don't like any of that. You just tried to test something that you have no experience. How about you come and check it out and see what God does in you? And we're going to be celebrating and praising and laughing right along with you when he lays you out. I love that. I had so many guys growing up going through Bible training and pastor training and all that. And they're like, I want someone to show me one scripture where it says that people fall out in the Holy Spirit. Show me one. And I'm like, man, I just got laid out twice. I don't know where the scripture is. All I know is that I liked it both times. So, you know. You know. John 4:34, Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. What's your food? Jesus, I don't eat that. It's unclean. It's impure. Don't you have a saying that it is still 4 months until harvest? Man, we are so weird. We have all these sayings and signs and shh. I tell you, open your eyes and look to the fields. They are ripe for harvest. We can see that it's still 4 months, but we can't tell that Jesus points it out and says, no, they're ripe. We're missing it. Wake us up, Lord. He said, even now the one who reaps draws a wage and it harvests a crop for eternal life, so the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work and you have reaped the benefits of their labor. What are you sowing now that will be reaped later? What did you sow in the past that you're reaping now? It doesn't stop. Now, this is a principle that is all throughout scriptures. Whatever you sow, you will reap. And so here's what I want to just kind of help you. If you're going through some mess, don't say, the devil's got me. Like Alan was saying, like he's blind. He doesn't know what he's hitting. So unless you're yelping, you don't know. But if you're saying, the devil. No, it's probably just your bad decisions that you sowed that you're now reaping. And you say, God, redeem this stuff. Help me with this stuff. I made a mistake. Forgive me. I don't want to continue sowing this stuff because I don't like reaping what I've sown. Would you teach me how to sow what you want me to sow? And then, I'm going to enhance this a little bit for you. Would you look around at what others are sowing and say, God, would you allow me to partner with them and just water? Just put some water on what's been sown already. Because we need that to grow. We need that to be nurtured. Because when that harvest comes, it's going to be massive, and I want to be a part of it. Are you with me? I have some questions I want us to ask as we're closing. Hezekiah, if you could come play. For those that don't know, we have some vision and some dreams that God has given us that I think are large, and I think we're only scratching the surface when I explain at the current state. So just know that I believe it's going to be much larger. But one of the things that I believe that we need to start doing, and I'm starting this week, we are probably going to take Wednesday and Thursday because I'm just trying to make options and things for people to do. But I'm going to say probably a 6 or 7 a.m. and then a 6 and 7 p.m. or 5, 6, something we can do to keep light. And so I'll stay close to that and just make sure that as many people that want to be involved can. But what we're going to do in those times on Wednesday and Thursday is we're going to just start walking our neighborhoods. And we're just going to pray. No agenda. I mean, if people see us and want us to pray for them, cool. That's like icing, right? But the cake is, will you be faithful and will you pray for the community that you've been planted in? And so for the month of February, leading up to the start of our weekly meals, I think we need to pray for the people. And here's some things that I feel like the Lord has said that we can pray for using the harvest language. Jesus, where's the harvest field in this region? Maybe even kind of isolate that a little bit for you in your mind so you know what I'm saying. Where is your harvest field that you've been preparing, that we've been blind to, that we've missed, that we need to get to work in? Are you with me? Because there's boundaries and there's fields, there's different places. I'm not saying everything you're called to is what you're called to. So ask him, where's the harvest field in this region? Here's the clarity. Where is genuine transformation taking place? Because that's where I want to be. God, what is your strategy for this region? All my notes are online, so you're not going to miss anything if you don't write it down fast enough. But God, what is your strategy for this region? I like this. As I was thinking about this, he said, ask me, where does your love want to invade? Because we're going to be taking some ground, and it's not going to be one of those, oh, here, you can have it. No, it's going to be a fight. So where are we invading with the love of Jesus Christ? What do we need to contend for? What do we need to fight for? Here's the next one. What, God, show me, what would it look like if you came in and changed society or this community? What would it look like? Can I see it? Can I get a snippet? I like this. He said, ask me what was my original plan. What was it supposed to be? And then the last prayer, and please add to these as you do this. But God, would you bring us favor with the right connections and people? The work can be accelerated because I promise you there's other people that are praying similar things, that are wanting to see similar change. Can I burst your bubble a little bit further? This is also revival. Because what was once dead and blind and deaf and dumb, he's saying, do you want to have eyes that see, ears that hear, a heart that understands his ways? And then key thing, most important, obeys it. I want to revive you. I want to empower you. I want to equip you to do all of this. You don't have to do it alone. The problem is you've been trying to do it alone all this time. Will you just stop for a second? Get your snack, get your nap. And then let me tell you the new strategy, the new plan, the direction, where we are going, what we are to do, and how you fit. I feel the Lord saying, I've got some builders. They need to build. You just have to build. Okay, well, let's figure out what we're building first. I have some worshipers that are like, I've got to sing. Well, how about we say, hey, Lord, I want to sing what you want me to sing. Give me the words. Give me the melodies and the song so that the song that we sing over your people and they sing back to you is one that pleases you. I can't help but teach. God, would you show us what we should teach? Because I am done repeating the garbage that's gone before because it sounded good and it made everybody say amen and it made him give tons of money and everybody was growing and thriving, but it was false and fake. I will not teach that anymore. I will not be one that you're like, oh man, the sermon was so good. I felt awesome. I don't care. What I want to teach and what I hope that you want to teach is, Holy Spirit, I want to sit at your feet. I want you to show me what is in your word. I want to consume it. I want it to be a part of me. And then when I step before your people, I want to give them exactly that. Nothing added, nothing altered, nothing changed, Lord Jesus. I just want them to have you. And if I can't give them you, you better take me out of this thing because I will not do it anymore. I want them to see you. I want them to have you, not me. You don't want me. I want you, and they want you. So would you help me teach your word? Would you teach us by your Holy Spirit? His word says that he will. Do you want it? Would you teach us by your Holy Spirit so that when we bring people into our homes, when we bring people into these classrooms and into this building, that we're speaking and teaching the very words of God, and it's breathed on by him. And what's interesting about that is I know so many people that you don't teach like me. And did you know that's okay? Did you know he's raising up all the flavors? It's like, man, go to the pop machine and what do they call them? Well, back in my day, they called them like the suicides. But it's like, man, you know what? I want a little bit of Sprite. I want a little bit of cherry. I want a little bit of this. Isaiah just goes nuts, man. He's like five flavors all in one. He's like, that's mine. I'm like, this tastes horrible. But I promise you, there's somebody out there that is just like Isaiah. That's like, man, that is literally the best. My compliments. Right? Someone is waiting for you to say yes to Jesus and to go tell them the word. Go give them his goodness. Share with him the glory that you've experienced and received. And he's saying, I'm going before you. I'm preparing the way. All you got to do is just open your mouth and words will just come out. We mess up when we try to fill our mouth with words that he didn't put in there. I feel led in this time. John and Tino, if you'd join me. Alan and Susan, if you'd join me. Wole, if you would join me. Samuel, I believe you're supposed to be up here too. And then Jeremy and Candace. So if y'all will just stretch out, I'm going to move my podium out of the way. I feel like what the Lord wants to happen right now is people need to be set free from a whole lot of stuff that you were dealing with during the worship time. And so I've got a variety of folks up here. Take a minute, ask the Lord, Lord Jesus, what do you want me to give up? What do you want me to get healed from? What do you want to call out of me? What do you want to put in me? All of the above. But God is not only going to be healing you in this moment, but he's going to be calling you into your next thing. And then once you get an idea or a picture of what that is, walk up to somebody and let them pray it into existence with you. Let them agree with you, okay? He's putting it there. You're going to tell them, and we're going to agree. Are you with me? All right, take a minute. Step easier for you. Everyone stand right where you're at. He's calling some of you to ministry, but your question is, I don't know what that looks like. Okay, that's you. Walk up here and get prayed for. He's calling some of you to do something just outside the box, and you're like, man, this is the craziest thing I've ever heard of. I need to know that I've heard from the Lord. Okay, that's you. Walk up. Man, I just got set free, but I don't know what I'm supposed to do next. Hey, that's you. Walk up. Okay? Walk up to somebody and ask them to pray for you. Ask them to partner with you. And if you are not bold enough to come out, I will send them to you. So God wants you free. He wants you set on your path today. Do not wait. Come on and get some prayer. right, I'm giving them strategy. I'm giving them direction. And so they're about to set loose on you. And so come on up, come on up. You might even be saying, is that God? Yeah, all of the pitter-pattering, the answer is yes, it is God. Come on.